My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to another Sun Earth Day Highlights podcast. In today's podcast, we'll talk with Lou Mayo about a new eclipse-based activity that he designed specifically for the amateur astronomer section of the Sun Earth Day website. The title of that activity is the NASA Lunar Parallax Challenge. Lou will also give us some rather interesting historical information about eclipses, the significance of eclipse viewing in today's world, and how you can find more eclipse information online. And finally, how you can start your own after-school astronomy club. So let's get started. Here's Lou.
Well, you know, Troy, we live in a magnificent era right now where we understand the universe in ways that are impossible even only 50 or 100 years ago. For most of human history, we have not understood the true nature of eclipses. And so most eclipses were viewed with fear and foreboding, bad omens. There are many stories of the significance of eclipses. In history, the Lydians and the Medes that's a great story. About 430 BC, these two groups had been fighting for 5 years. It had, you know, constant wars where the advantage shifted back and forth and nobody seemed to be winning. But in the sixth year of their war, an eclipse occurred, and they were so afraid that the gods were unhappy with this war that they immediately stopped all fighting and formed a peace treaty. There's also a wonderful story, although it's not quite clear if this is true or not, but around the year 2000 BC, I think 2134, there are two Chinese astrologers, and back then astronomy and astrology were considered to be the same thing. And so these two Chinese astrologers, Si and Ho, failed to predict the eclipse for the emperor. And it was so important that they understood eclipses at that time that these two poor unfortunate astronomers were beheaded. So eclipses through time have mostly been very frightening events for people. But of course, in modern times, we understand them much better.
Later that afternoon, I was able to take a walk with Lou just outside of the building where he works at Goddard Space Flight Center. So I used part of that time to ask a few questions about the Lunar Parallax Challenge that he developed for the Sun Earth Day website. It was a beautiful day, and if you listen closely, you should be able to hear quite a few sounds of birds in the background.
Well, this is it's not new, but it's kind of a fun activity. You can actually derive the distance to the moon by using a very simple concept of parallax during a solar eclipse. And so we're going to have people all over the world send in their pictures of the eclipse, the partial eclipse, or perhaps they're along the path of totality. And by looking at these pictures and understanding how the eclipse will look different from different parts of the Earth, you can do a pretty good job in calculating the distance to the moon.
The instructions for this entire activity can be downloaded from the Eclipse feature on the Sun Earth Day website. Now, during our conversation, Lou talked about the after-school astronomy program and how that program has played such an instrumental role in getting all three of his daughters, ages 10, 13, and 16, interested in astronomy. Well, that and a few other parenting tricks.
There, you can get them to do a lot when the promise is they'll get out of school. So I've taken them on eclipse trips with me internationally. I take them on trips to observe meteor showers. I get them up at 4 in the morning to watch the Venus transit. And so
I'm sure they were thrilled about that one.
Yeah, the big question is, well, Dad, will I get out of school for this? I ran an after-school astronomy club at the elementary school that all my daughters have been to, and they've all been through the astronomy club. And although sometimes they roll their eyes and say, Dad, you're talking about space again, they also really enjoyed the astronomy club. And I think I feel pretty good that I've been able to introduce them to the night sky a little bit, and maybe they'll carry that with them through life.
What about the teachers and parents that are listening to this conversation right now? Can you tell them how, if they're interested in getting their children involved or students involved or community members involved in astronomy, where can they go to find out more information about how to do that?
Okay, there's a website they could go to called afterschoolastronomy.org, and it shows you how to set up your own after-school astronomy club in your school or in your community center. has a list of activities. If you've never done this before, it has step-by-step instructions on how to set this up. It also has resources, local resources. So for example, local amateur astronomy clubs are a wonderful way to get involved in astronomy, and you can find one almost certainly within driving distance of where you are.
Now, on the Sun Earth Day website, in the amateur astronomer section in particular, will there be links there to some of these places you're talking about where people can find out more about astronomy clubs?
Oh, you bet. The Sun Earth Day website will be a wonderful one-stop shopping place to go for eclipses, for astronomy clubs, all kinds of information.
Throughout history, eclipses have played a significant role in scientific discovery. So towards the end of our conversation, I asked Lou if he would mind sharing a few of his favorite examples with us.
Well, of course, today we understand eclipses very well. We know what causes them. We can predict them. And it turns out that they've been instrumental in helping us understand other areas of astronomy. I'll give you two examples. There was an eclipse in 1868, and the French astronomer Pierre Janssen was observing a solar prominence once the moon had completely blocked out the sun. You could see the subtle solar atmosphere and some of the features off the sun. And he found a spectral line that was just a little bit short of the sodium line, a line that presented itself in the yellow part of the spectrum. And they didn't know what it was at the time, but it turns out that this was the discovery of helium, the second most abundant element in the universe, and the only element not discovered first on Earth, but in fact discovered on the sun. Another very famous eclipse occurred in 1919, after Albert Einstein had proposed the theory of general relativity, which talks about how gravity can actually bend space. They used an eclipse that was a total solar eclipse to observe the positions of stars very near the limb of the sun. And with the sun completely blocked out, you could actually see stars in the daytime. So they recorded the positions of those stars. And then they recorded the positions at night when the sun was not right near, or you know, the edge of the sun was not very near those stars, and found that the position of the stars actually appeared to change. And this was verification that Albert Einstein was right, that massive objects like the sun in fact do warp space, and so the light paths of these stars actually curved a little bit to get around, going around the edge of the sun.
Lou Mayo is a planetary scientist at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center and works on problems involving the atmospheric modeling of Saturn's largest moon, Titan. He also spends much of his time designing and promoting education outreach programs with the Sun Earth Connection Education Forum. And finally, he runs a national network of after-school astronomy clubs. So I'd like to give a special thanks to him for taking time to share all of this information with us. As a reminder, a total solar eclipse will occur on August 1st, 2008, and it'll be visible from within a narrow corridor that will traverse half the Earth. The path of the moon's umbral shadow will actually begin in Canada and extend across northern Greenland, the Arctic, central Russia, Mongolia, and China. The Sun Earth Day team plans to bring that event to you with a live webcast right from China. So you can get more information about that webcast on the Sun Earth Day homepage. We hope you enjoyed this Sun Earth Day Highlights podcast, and we're very interested in hearing your questions and comments. If you have something to say, just send an email to sunearthday@gmail.com. If selected, we'll share it online with one of our upcoming podcasts. Sun Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
This is Troy Klein signing off.